And tonight on Coast to Coast, we talk about channeling entities and souls from other dimensions. Winfrey joins me. One of his books, by the way, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, want to talk to you. So get ready for that. When is next on Coast to Coast AM? Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Winfrey, of course, known as the author with David Wilcock of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, in which a lot of people think David is the reincarnated Edgar Cayce. Now, Win has a background in physics at the University of California at Berkeley, and he has, of course, written another book called The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe. Want to talk to you. He was last on with me in January of this year and had an overwhelming response. So he's back. Great way to fit the beginning and end of the year with you, Win. Welcome back.
Hey, George. I am so excited to be here. And thank you for having me on.
My pleasure, too. So you've been doing a little work in channeling entities, huh?
Well, you know what? Channeling, you can use the word channeling, okay? And I had this experience of, I mean, we've talked about this. I'm not going to tell the story again. Go to my website. By the way, the book, The Creator God book, The Creator God, is free. Go to my website, intelligent-infinity, and download it. Because it covers a lot of stuff. Okay.
Okay. Good for you.
And you know, I had the experience with two personal relationships that kept tapping me on the shoulder, telling me those guys want to talk to you. And this was during the period starting in 2002, when I was in the middle of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and it was pretty crazy. It was like, why are they talking to me? Obviously, they were chasing me down because they went from one woman to the other. And I've known Terry for years, at least 30 years, and we never had an experience like that, okay? So I had an open door to ask any question I wanted, and they would usually answer. And they said they were the Council of Elohim, and historically, Elohim is one of the words for God in the Old Testament.
That's right.
The Book of Mormon, and the creators of the universe. So they were just very, they weren't intimidating. They didn't want me to defer to them. They just were trying to satisfy my curiosity and answer questions. And one of the first things that happened was that I was asking questions about The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce that I was writing. And they were almost parallel to everything that Wilcock had channeled and was saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman didn't know that. And it was like having a second opinion. When I was first writing the book, the Wilcock book, it was kind of... you know, I was in my head. I had to prove that he was Cayce. I was going to put the channelings in there.
Still convinced he's the reincarnated Edgar?
Yep.
Okay.
But you know what? This is a different life. And there's a lot of, you know, every life is like a blank canvas. And you paint it according to your own creativity. So David is painting this life in a different way than the Cayce life, okay? And but he's most definitely Cayce, and the evidence connecting to it is probably billions to one odds of all the circumstances, the time to Cayce. Again, you know the book's available on Amazon. You can go to my website, returnofedgar.com, and the book contains something which David does not usually put front and center. Because when I met him, he was like in between. His website was full of channelings, and he was representing himself as a channel. And then he was doing this scientific work. And he after the book came out, he didn't really, as you know, he didn't really want to be out there as a channel.
No, not at all. And he still feels a little strange being called Edgar Cayce.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons, in my opinion, you know, from having worked with him, and is that in his own channelings, they said that both he and Casey had negative sources come through them at different times. And in Casey's case, his famous prophecy of the earth devastation, of everything
right.
disappearing.
Major changes. Yeah.
Yeah, the earth changes, was going to disappear in the blink of an eye, and this Tokyo was going down. And I remember years ago when I read Casey, there was another comment in the Casey material which said, these changes are going to happen gradually. And I said, I wonder why there's two different points of view, one that was going to happen in the blink of an eye and one that was going to happen gradually. And Wilcox's source said that that was not them. That was a negative source. And then I went and looked. That particular channeling was actually signed. It was named. There was a name of a being that wasn't Casey's normal source. And I went through the whole Edgar Casey CD-ROM, and I found that that being was eventually discredited, that they didn't call on him anymore, and they only worked with his normal source, which everyone thought was the Christ. And, you know, what I've proven to myself, and if we get into this, it's really fascinating. In fact, it was the Christ, but it's not how we normally think of that word, okay? It was a group soul. It was a group soul. George, you come from a background as a Christian, right?
Right. I was raised Catholic.
You were raised Catholic. And, of course, you've seen the picture of Terry and St. Catherine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all of these amazing phenomena around me, that how do you explain them? So I took that to heart about this idea of negative sources. So when they started talking to me, I was extremely scrutinizing. No matter what they said, I was like testing it and cross-referencing it, because I didn't want to be responsible for putting something that was negative out into the world. And in fact, many people that channel can't tell the difference. And one of the things that happens is if you start earning a living, putting your channelings out into the world, it tempts a negative source.
Explain that.
Well, what happens is money is such a challenge in this realm for so many people. And if you do something that's channeling, and suddenly you're earning a living from it, and particular, if let's suppose you're doing readings for people, and you tell them things, psychic things about themselves, because the negative can do that. The negative hooks into people and starts ingratiating itself, making itself important, and you're making money now, so you can't have the same, scrutiny, discernment, because you're paying your bills through this work. And so that's why I made the decision to give away a huge amount of what I was doing for no charge. That way I wouldn't be tempted to get...
Well, that's admirable. You also do conference calls, right,
with people? We do conference calls.
How does that work?
Well, I wanted to say, we were talking about channeling. Before I talk about the conference calls, I wanted to share with you, you saw, did Lisa send you those pictures I sent her?
Yeah, she did that, and also some music, which I'll talk to you about a little bit later on in the program.
Okay. Well, in 2004, I gave my first talk on the Wilcox book in San Diego at an expo. And while I was talking, I could see this energy in the room. I mean, it was like amazing. It's hard to explain. I've always been sensitive to energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I used to play music, I could feel energy in the room and when I'm playing with other musicians. But it was like, not only was it in the room, but it was moving around. And when my talk was over, Terry was manning a table outside the room selling books, the reincarnation book. And people were walking up to her, and they were saying things like, I could see auras. I never saw auras before, okay? I could feel light. And so I was like having, you know, a second confirmation. Hey, I'm not the only one that noticed it, right? And so I did a channeling session with this Elohim source. And remember, I am still trying to convince myself they are who they say they are. Every moment, I'm just saying...
Who could they be if they aren't who they say they are?
Well, they could be something negative that has an agenda, okay?
Demons?
Well...
Trying to trick you?
You know what? There's very high beings that are negative in this realm. And I don't know if you would call them demons. They are so tricky that there's things that really look spiritual and sacred that they're on top of. And it's a whole nother explanation to explain how and why that works that way. But the thing about this energy in the room is it was very loving energy. People were uplifted by it. So I did a channeling, and I said, could you explain that energy that was in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And, I mean, it just blew my mind, okay? I mean, it's like I'm this little guy walking up, giving a talk, and this room is filled with energy, and this source that says they're the Elohim has the ability to blast energy into the room that people can feel. And then I did more talks after that, and every time I did a talk, that would happen. And I never talked at that time publicly about my personal experience. I didn't know how to integrate it with the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. It just sounded like I'd have no credibility. It sounds too crazy. So at a certain point, when I was convinced that they could, like, if you remember my sister's healing, and when they took the lupus out of her and she had a medical miracle, this was in 2002, and this was in the first 4 or 5 months of me talking to them, and I asked them, how did you do that? And they said, we projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out. And that blew my mind, because lupus never goes away, right?
Right.
So I asked them, I said, I think this is a really important phenomena. I was trying to understand the phenomena and how it would benefit people. This idea of the ability to project energy from the center of the universe right to a physical location on Earth. And I asked them, could you do that on a conference call? And they said they could. So I looked at it like a big experiment. Let me try doing a conference call and see what happens. And when we first did it, sometimes I would play a audio of a session. Sometimes I would read a transcript, but we never did any live channeling. I was scared to do it because of this idea that if you do a live channeling, what if you get a negative source? You can't take it back. And so I would say for at least a couple of years, there were people that were... coming to my talks, I would invite them, that felt the energy, and I'd invite them to the conference call. And they were noticing energy on the call. And this has been, I used to say it was a big experiment, because it was. I didn't know what I was doing. How do you, you know, imagine that you show up somewhere and a group soul that says they created the universe can put this beautiful energy in the place in a way that people can experience it. So this has been evolving and evolving. And of course, after I was on your show the last couple of times, more and more people started attending my calls. And, you know, it's evolved to the point where you asked what we do on the conference calls. We have 3 calls and they're all different. One of them is our Wednesday night call. And people actually submit questions. And now I've gotten confident enough that Terry channels live on the call the answers to their questions.
Hmm.
And our Sunday call is like a two-hour call. And our Sunday call, do you know who Carla Ruckert is?
Refresh me.
Have you heard David Wilcock refer to the Law of One?
Yeah.
Carla Ruckert is the person that channeled the Law of One from the period of 1981 to 1983. And when I was researching Wilcock, Carla was giving a talk in Laughlin, and I went to her talk because I wanted to meet her, because I was trying to kick all the tires every which way to see if I really believed all of this. And Carla and I have known each other now, stayed in touch since 2002, I think. 2001, 2002, and she loves my work and gives it, and I love her work. And on our Sunday calls, Carla is on the call, and sometimes we talk, sometimes I talk. We talk for an hour, and then the second hour, we do a planetary healing meditation.
We need more of that, Wynn.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how amazing it is to do this with these group souls on the line. And remember, this is an experiment. I have watched how it works, and I've kind of learned about group energy, okay? And that, George, you feel group energy, don't you?
All the time.
Yeah. When you're on your calls, you feel your audience, right?
Yep.
When you give a talk, you feel your audience. And
well, if you don't, there's something wrong with your connection.
Right, right. Now, that group energy is not a physical thing. It's in another dimension, okay? I mean, somebody might try to say it's emotional or this.
Mm-hmm. But
it goes beyond that. It's actually, if somebody is doing it in a good way, their energy field expands into the room, okay? And so, you know, Lynn McTaggart, with the intention experiment, she put
Yes.
group energy together, and they put intentions on it to try to shift things, right?
And you know what? She's had some remarkable results, Wynn, as you know.
I know. Well, on our Sunday call, we put group energy together on everyone that's on the call, and people can feel it. It just goes right out to everybody. But we have these two group souls in the other dimensions attaching themselves to our group energy. So this is my speculation, okay? I can't prove this. But this is how this is how they worked, okay? You know, they need a nest. They need something to hold their energy. When we create a group energy, that's like a holding place which they can move into. And suddenly, there's the energy. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain unless you attend the call. It's like sizzling. It's like the energy of space around you is expanded. I mean, you can be sure they're paying attention to us right now, okay? They're paying attention to the people that are listening to them because they long to make connection with this realm. It's very difficult for some invisible group soul in another dimension to let us know they exist and how they work. And they're not God. They say they're not God. In fact, the entire Western concept of God is a little bit off kilter. You know Michael Tellinger? You know,
I know him well. Hold on for a second, though. Wynn, we're going to come up to a break right now, and we'll come back. We'll talk much more about this on Coast to Coast AM. I think our engineer, Nathan, is playing that one off of one of our old 8-tracks. I kid you not. Hey, talking about music and CDs, the Holiday Magic Coast Style CD, of course, is quickly climbing up the Amazon charts. Thanks to you. Thank you so much. We've only got a few more weeks left before it's available to you. And, of course, proceeds will benefit some veterans charities as well. Lots of Coast to Coast guests have donated their time to record poems or songs on it. So let's take advantage of this. How do you pick it up in time for the holidays? Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Just simply click the link. It's that easy. You can click the link of the CD. Click more. Takes you straight to Amazon.com. Or if you just go to Amazon.com, put in Holiday Magic Coast Style CD, and you'll pick it up that way. You'll have some fun with it. Welcome back, Win Free, with us. Win, you were talking about our dear friend Michael Tellinger. Where were you headed with that story?
Well, I was talking about the idea of God. And in Michael Tellinger's book, Slave Species of the Gods, he has a whole chapter. You know, obviously, this is a long one to get into, so I'll keep it. I don't want to. It's on my.
Give us the Cliff Notes version.
The Cliff Notes version is that humans were genetically engineered by this group of Anunnaki.
Sure. A Sitchin theory.
A Sitchin theory. And then it seems like a Tellinger seemed to find the remnants in South Africa of the gold mines and the spaceship landings, right? And so the theory is that the Old Testament, the gods of the Old Testament, were not God in the way we think of God. They were Anunnaki, mm-hmm. who were all taking control of different areas. Now, this is really controversial to say, because, you know, there's the most interesting chapter in Michael's book, the Slave Species book, was the one where he took all these quotes from the Old Testament, which was God talking to man, saying, if they're homosexual, kill them. Sacrifice your sons. I can't remember them all, but it was shocking. It was
sure.
brutal. And I said, what is this? I never had really taken that apart before.
Not the verbiage of a god, that's for sure.
Right, right. And it's certainly not the verbiage of our sources, who are always totally loving. But what we have, I believe, is a bunch of Anunnakis who are taking different territories, and each one is being the god of a territory, and they're competing with each other, and they're saying, I'm the real god, and you're not, okay? And so I did have some questions about that. And I got some confirmation that that's fairly true in my private questioning. And one of the things was, oh God, my mind just went blank. What was I going to
say? Well, we're talking about Tellinger and the Anunnaki.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, this was it. This was a really interesting one.
So aren't you glad when I'm always on track?
I'm
aren't
glad,
you?
George. Thank you. You know, you've read that the Anunnaki lived extremely long lifetimes, right?
Yes, yeah.
Well, actually, this came through my channeling. I can't prove this is true, but this is they answered a question this way, and they said this was a secret, but it didn't matter if it was out anymore. What they were doing was they were genetically cloning themselves, and their souls would move from one body to the next to the next. So it looked like they were always young, and they were always, you know, they were the gods. They were there forever, okay? Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what came through a session when I asked the question about it, okay? And in any case, and then there were certain things in the Old Testament that sounded really sacred, like there is to everything there is a time, you know, and various psalms. Now, here is an amazing thing, and this is. I'm just going to put Cliff note this, George, and people have to be curious. You know, the raw material of Carla Ruckert is 5 books. It's available for free, and in fact, Carla and I, every couple of months, we do a workshop based on her material. We're doing one this Saturday, and it's on my website. Okay, and it costs almost nothing. We do things really, really, so no one is ever turned away. And you've heard of Maldek. Have you heard of Maldek, George?
Yeah, I have.
That was the planet that exploded, right? And turned into the asteroids.
That's right.
Right. So in the Ruckert material, in the Ruckert raw material, now let me tell you who Ra is. Ra is another group soul, and it's composed of graduates of this realm. souls that went through many lifetimes, and they managed to get out of off the wheel of reincarnation. And they team together on the other side, and there's hundreds of millions of them, and they act as helpers and guides for planets at lower levels of evolution.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. But mostly, you know, I'm not sure how widespread on every planet, but certainly on our planet. And it was the Ra group. Now, I'm drawing conclusions without giving all the research I did to make the conclusion. But it was the Ra group that was speaking through Edgar Cayce. And Jesus had a huge connection with the Ra group.
And that group, of course, gave Cayce all kinds of medical information. You name it, they gave it to him, you're saying.
Now just imagine that you have this group soul that's got doctors in it, that's got all these, you know, they've been around for 1,000 lifetimes and they graduated.
Yeah.
They have access to all this stuff, okay? The difference between the Ra group and the Elohim group is the Ra group, the Elohim group has huge wisdom, but it's vicarious wisdom from watching us. The Ra group has the wisdom of being stuck in this realm and what it takes to get out of the realm. And if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, half the book were Wilcox. Wilcox believes he was channeling the same Ra as Carla Rucker. And they gave extremely wise guidance, extremely wise. And the Elohim group is stronger at projecting energy into this realm, and the Ra group works more closely with it. And that, you know, as soon as you say Jesus, let me just say, if you happen to be a Christian and you're following traditional Christian
ways
and cosmology, this is not so much different. It's just another explanation, because this idea of these group souls being able to project light into a room that people can feel and over a conference line, it's like that's a pretty compelling experience. And now, in one of the, you know, in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was one comment that they made through Cayce, which this comment stimulated a whole bunch of research on my part. And they said, "We came to you in Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up." I didn't say religion screwed it up. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what they meant. And I said, "What did they mean that they came to us in Christianity?" And then I looked at Cayce saying it was the Christ coming through them, through him. And I just cross-referenced a lot of stuff, and it's too much to mention here. But it's another way of explaining God as an assemblage of beings that are all one with each other. You see, there is only one God because everything is part of it, including us. And then there's subdivisions across the hologram of the universe where God, or where parts of God work with other parts of God. George, you're a part of God. I'm talking to a part of God. Everyone in our audience is a part of God. And the idea of one omniscient being, but it is one because it's all one. This is the trick. It's a kind of semantic thing. But you create a separation because there's a God and there's a you, and you are part of God, and you are a co-creator with God. And Jesus said, "These things I do, you can do too, and much more." And, you know, I read the Bible. I was not brought up a Christian, but I was studying everything, and I read the Bible, and I read...
It's a fascinating read.
Yeah, well, you know, so many of the things that Jesus actually said, somehow I knew them. I was, like, learning them directly, not because I was following Jesus, but I inherently understood it. And, So on the conference calls, we create a group energy, and a lot of people feel it. You read, maybe I'll just, can I read one of the testimonials? You know, I sent you a few today, you know.
Yeah, as long as it's short, go ahead.
How about your short one? This is like a tip, this is, I get hundreds of these, okay? I've been coming around for about 6 weeks now, and my life has transformed. I've gone from being a moody person to constantly happy. I now have a job from being unemployed for 5 months. I'm getting calls about jobs, thinking about starting a business, and I'm able to communicate with others from my heart and not my mind. I can even see auras and feel energies. I can't tell you how amazing the experience has been. Now, that particular person was, what I know, what's in the raw material, that there are probably 70 million people on this planet that came from the raw group that chose to reincarnate again. And they always, when they're here, they don't remember that anymore. They have to rediscover it. And I have this theory that a huge amount of your listeners fit that category. Because they're interested in how things work. They're interested in metaphysical things. They're interested in spiritual things. They're interested in ETs. They're interested in, you know, the stuff that you attract. And, you know, you're probably, I shouldn't, you know, say what you are, but you're probably one of those beings yourself, because you do have unconditional love, and you do, inherently, this part of you, it generates the law of one. That generates oneness amongst people, and it's amazing.
Is it natural, or did I develop it?
Well, I would say it's a quality that you were born with, and then because you were born with something, oftentimes we lose those qualities because of the way we're brought up, the things we believe in, and so whether you had it all through your life or you suddenly got it. It would be because that something resonated and it just triggered it, you know? I mean, I've had all kinds of things triggering me as a result of these experiences I'm doing, okay? And it's waking up parts of me, and people on my line are waking up, not because of what I say, but because of the energy on the line. You know, one of the things about the energy that's on our lines, or energy, and about dimensions. How do dimensions work? We have all these past lives, but in the highest truth, there's no such thing as time. So we carry a computer that carries the hologram of our past lives in our energy field, and many of us have had traumas. We came into this realm. If we came from a high realm, we had high intentions. But we have traumas, we have hurts, we have bad parents, and you're saying, what am I doing here? What did I come here for? You know,
where do miracles fit into this, Wynn?
Well, the way miracles work, and I'll give you an example. We've had a number of amazing phenomena.
And you're falling off your phone, so get back to me.
Am I falling? You don't hear me?
There you go.
Okay. We've had a lot of amazing phenomena on our calls. What happens is intention is the human quality that projects your energy through the veil into higher dimensions. Intention. And when you have a group of people creating an intention, it can cause something to shift. When you have a group of people that are creating an intention with higher group souls, now they have a criteria. They'll only join with an intention when it's for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. They don't violate free will, so they have to be asked. And they will respond to God. If somebody's praying to God and they have a strong intention, they can answer that. They can work with that person. But this realm that we live in, the physical realm, it looks, it's got what seems like laws that control everything, the law of gravity, and, you know, everything seems solid, everything seems real. But in fact, everything in this realm is frequencies combining to create this illusion. But because we're in the illusion, we are bound by the illusion. When you can start projecting your energy into the space in other dimensions that are the precursor to this dimension, and you get the help of these group souls, which makes it extremely powerful, then something can shift down here that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And that looks like a miracle, okay?
All right. And,
you know, we've had a number of things on our conference calls, but one of the most amazing phenomena happened a couple of years ago. And on Sunday, we put my terminology is to put something in the light. That's like creating an intention and putting it in the field above the physical field and see if it can coalesce and cause a shift. So we put Hurricane Gustav in the light on a Sunday morning. Remember Hurricane Gustav?
I sure do.
And Hurricane Gustav was in the news, and it was barreling down on New Orleans, and it was supposed to hit New Orleans with the same speed as Katrina and do the same kind of devastation. So we're on the line, and we put it in the light, and then something happened that never happened before, and that was, Terry, we always, on our Sunday call, there's always a little channeling session where the Elohim says, hello to everybody, we love you, that's our energy you're feeling, it's kind of amazing. And so in this particular case, they started talking to the hurricane. And they said, Hurricane Gustav got all the hurricane has a consciousness. And it was barreling down towards New Orleans, and it likes being powerful. And so they were saying, look at all the people praying for you. And why don't you let us divert some of the energy? All those people would be so grateful. And this went on for about 10 minutes. I have it on tape. It's just, and I'm saying to myself, my credibility is going to be shot after this. Okay? Finally.
Well, maybe not, huh?
No, it wasn't, because after 10 minutes, they said, Hurricane Gustav has agreed to let us divert some of the energy. And it's not going to be a problem. So immediately after that call, I started Googling Hurricane Gustav, and I was getting all these things. Hurricane Gustav mysteriously dropped from a level 4 to a level 3.
Meteorologists had no idea what happened.
Right.
They were baffled. The next morning, I remember that story, they were in shock.
Right. Well, somebody, I think, was on one of your shows was talking about it, okay?
Yep.
And I was in shock, okay? I was in shock. I said, oh, my God, did we do this? Later I asked them, I said, you mean if we... Now, I'm just reporting now. I'm not telling anyone to believe anything except that it did happen. We did do this. There was this conversation with the hurricane. They did say it wasn't going to be a problem. And the very moment they said it wasn't going to be a problem, it suddenly dropped in intensity.
I know. When we're going to take this break, we're going to come back and talk more. Plus, I want to ask you a little bit about a little music you've been doing lately. And we'll also take phone calls in our final hour with Winfrey right here on Coast to Coast AM.